πάθος ατελείωτο, ατελείωτο που είναι το δικό μου. Όλοι να θέλουν τη ζωή, τη ζωή κι εγώ το θάνατο. Απελπιστικά μανούλα μου να υποφέρω, κουραστικά μες στη ζωή το κάρο να γυρεύω. Σκοτεινή, σκοτεινή, έτσι είναι και η καρδιά μου. Και σαν τη σιγανή βροχή, τη βροχή, τρέχουν τα δάκρυα μου. Απελπιστικά μανούλα μου να υποφέρω, κουραστικά μες στη ζωή το κάρο να γυρεύω. Θα πάω να έβρω μια σπηλιά, μια σπηλιά με πέτρες και με χώμα. Εκεί θα πείσω κόκαλα, κόκαλα, ζωή, ψυχή και σώμα.
A great classic right there, remastered, Vambakari. But the time in our studios on a Tuesday morning live is 11 o'clock. Kalimesas Xana. I'm your host, Teddy Dimitriadis, joined in studio live by Petro Vambaka and Costa Perdikaki. And on the telephone right now, Manny Frangidakis, along with Stamati Sastra. Gentlemen, got a little forum going on here. Kalimesas.
Καλημέρα.
Καλημέρα σας. Καλημέρα. Καλώς ήρθατε και οι δυο σας. Γεια σου Μανώλη.
Γεια σου Κώστα, πώς είσαι?
Μια χαρά,
Petro,
μια χαρά.
How are you?
Good, good. Okay. Nice to hear your voice.
Let's see what you're going to tell us so we can make some quick money over here. So
we
can,
what'd you tell Powell this morning?
You know, yeah. So we can go and invest them in Greece.
Hello?
Money pounds in the market drops, I guess.
Yeah, so, you know, and we kind of had a little bit of an expectation because we've had a decent bounce since last week. We're towards the upper end of our range. So, you know, full disclosure, we've been saying the entire year and even at the end of 2022 that we were looking to be range bound this year between 3,700 and 4,100 in the S&P. You know, going into Powell's presser, you're at 40-50. That just tells you have much more room for downside risk than you do upside potential. And anytime Powell speaks, you usually have about 2 hours of volatility before the market decides which way it wants to go. Now, regarding what his commentary was this morning, came out and said that although inflation has been moderating in recent months, the process of getting inflation back down to 2% has a long way to go and is likely to be bumpy. If the totality of the data were to indicate that faster tightening is warranted, we would be prepared to increase the pace of rate hikes. Restoring price stability will likely require that we maintain a restrictive stance of monetary policy for some time. Historical record cautions strongly against prematurely loosening policy. We will stay the course until the job is done. So that's pretty hawkish commentary, and not surprising, as the last thing Powell wants to see take place right now is a party in the stock market. So it will be interesting to see what the future data looks like. For example, payrolls on Fridays, because as we know, the reason why rates went up substantially in February was after a seasonally strong jobs print in January with, 500,000 jobs created, which is exactly the opposite of what the Fed wants to see, as they're looking for the labor market to loosen here and not tighten.
Okay, so it looks like this recession keeps coming and coming and coming, and it's not here.
Yeah, so the recession is here if you're looking at it from an earnings recession, or if you're looking at a recession in commercial real estate. It's that the other parts of the economy haven't truly caught up yet. So we're seeing it in stock market earnings, and the market is handling it very well. And I think the market is expecting that the other shoe to drop happens later on this year, most likely sometime in the summer as we get the next slate of earnings.
So hold on one second, Manoli. You said about it's shown in the commercial real estate. Can you elaborate a little bit more on it?
Yeah, exactly. So I'll read you. So yesterday you had the testimony on the earnings call from Starwood. You had the CEO who came out and made some comments regarding the commercial real estate market. And what he said was that there's rising cap rates creating some freeze on transactions activities. There's a lot of stuff that isn't being sold because people expect if they don't have to sell, they won't sell. And it's likely, similar to the Great Financial Crisis, it mirrors it in a sense that there's a big spread between buyers and sellers, and everybody doesn't want to sell today isn't going to sell. And if there is a sale, it's going to be distressed sell. And then he also came out and said loans are almost at 10% today, and they're probably 400 to 500 to 600 basis points over the secured overnight financing rate. So if you have cash flow in a hotel, you could potentially get a loan. And if you're at 400 basis points over the SOFR, you're around 8.5%. The problem is that if you don't have cash flow right now, it's very hard to get a loan. And even the biggest quality borrowers are having trouble as banks are shutting down credits, especially for smaller player. And his particular comment is the Fed has no idea, it seems, on what's going on in the commercial real estate market. So there's certainly a recession there. Mm-hmm. There's certainly a recession.
Definitely there is a lack. There is not like a lot of commercial properties, at least in this area, for sale. It's the availability, it's not there. So it's very difficult to, I mean, I cannot, at least I haven't seen it near, where we are. That was kind of, I'm surprised to hear that,
Well, they're looking at it, Costa, from a standpoint that transactions aren't occurring.
Uh-huh.
That there's a complete freeze over the entire market due to the spread between buyers and sellers and the inability to get financing at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of an effect does that have, like, in the construction? Because, I mean, you look at the skyline of Boston, you're seeing all these cranes.
I know.
It seems like so much building going on. Like,
Housing. That's housing. It's not commercial real estate. It's a big difference between housing. Housing is going strong still. The commercial real estate, it's apparently,
But, I mean, so I would imagine, some of those cranes going up, that some of that is commercial, too. It's not just housing that's going up in Boston right now. There's so much vertical
it's
building
mixed
right
use.
Now.
The bottom is like...
the mixed use. And some of that mixed use property is empty, and, the apartments upstairs have been rented for years. It's unbelievable what's going on in the city.
I mean, I see in Rhode Island, the small Rhode Island, I mean, in some distressed areas, I mean, you see the rents. It's unbelievable.
Just the whole retail thing. So Petra, I grew up in Belmont, right? I went by Cushing Square yesterday, mm-hmm. or the day before, right? Cushing Square, they've got a whole beautiful new apartment complex, retail on the bottom, for rent signs everywhere. The landmark Cushing Square stores are all empty. What vitalizes that?
Yeah, well, that's what Manny speaks to. But, I mean, what I'm saying is, what does that mean, for construction? Because I'm seeing, buildings still going up. Is it going to have, a repercussion, 6 months down the road? Is that going to be, is that when it catches up to what's going on, right now, market-wise?
See what Manny's going to tell us.
Yeah, it's going to catch up, but it's going to take a long time. Where everything is operating at such a substantial lag.
Mm-hmm.
For example, you know, the labor market is one component of it, but also in the standpoint of when does the negative earnings start to feed into the bottom line of these corporate balance sheets? That's the other part that's a massive lag right now, because even though we're tightening policy quite drastically, China's not, they're loosening. Japan is not, they're loosening. They're selling treasuries, which is causing the dollar to decline, which is actually having a negative effect compared to what the Fed wants to do, which is to strengthen the dollar and tighten financial conditions. So it's actually taking even longer at this present time, just due to the amount of liquidity that is still sloshing around the global economy at this point. So all of this will operate as a lag, but you're starting to see it to come out in the data. For example, one of the best examples I can give you right now is car debt. Car loan payments have hit an all-time high in terms of late payments.
Well,
so we're seeing it there. We're also seeing a massive jump in credit card defaults. So that's up like about 18% year to date and increasing quite drastically. And now we're starting to actually see some layoffs occur. So for example, after dropping 13% of their workforce, Facebook is slashing another couple thousand employees this week. So it's starting to occur. It takes a long time for monetary policy to lag.
Yeah.
It's similar to how we went into 2021, 2022, where they were saying, oh, inflation is transitory.
Yeah.
Well, it took a long time for that data to really seep in and open up their eyes. Mm-hmm. It's going to be the same on the back end, where we're actually going to probably, we are seeing deflationary data points. It's also going to take time for that to lead into the market before the Fed reverses course. So the fear is do we over tighten here as potentially we're actually picking up steam going into the economy, but at the same time, after 12 years of monetary policy and QE and interest rates at zero, I don't see them cutting rates that substantially for a long, long time. So the biggest message out there is that as we navigate this, if you have the expectation that we're going to go back to the world that 2019 was, I think you're in for a rude awakening. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're going back to zero cost of capital. I think we're going to live in a 3 to 5% environment. And right now, what the models are telling you is that potentially rates might have to go a lot higher over the next couple months before they come down. Some of the models are showing potentially up to 8, 8.5. We're currently, getting close to Fed neutrality of what they expected in terms of a 5, 5.25 Fed rate. But does it potentially have to go higher? And that's the question. And the question then is, which side of inflation are you on? Are you on we are transitory now and then deflation is coming in, or are we higher for longer? And that's going to set your models up.
What does that, I don't know if you can look into the crystal ball, but in layman's terms for what's that mean for, what kind of rate are we talking for, the 30-year conventional home fixed mortgage? Are we talking back to the sevens and eights? What are they now, like six?
6.75, yeah.
6.75?
Yeah, 6.75.
I know someone that just locked in a seven, so it depends on where you are. What's your credit rating?
So, but
you lock in beforehand.
Yeah, so in other words, we're going to be talking 8-9%. We were back in the,
guys,
it could be like that. Just listening to Manny, just thinking about this, it just could be like the new normal. Like it could be this new normal. Like right.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a fluctuation for some time because you have so many different parts of the economy, and it is truly a globalized economy in so many different ways. And you having this repercussion, the recourse is on so many different levels of just like whether it's the fluctuation of labor, whether it's like this issue of migration or the global economy back and forth. I think we're in a period of just this unease, and this is the new normal. I'm just hearing about it, and I think it's just wishful thinking to think that we'll go to some kind of like a nice model that you can just sort of like, have predictability and have some things that are standardized. I think this is the way that it is.
A great session. Manny, before I let you go, I want to kind of, we got the six, sweet 64 picks this Sunday night coming up, the NCAA, which is going to bring me to the betting groups, to the investments, the what's it called? DraftKings, the DraftKings. I know I'm doing a 180 on you here, but
εδώ καράβια και έχω και ο δικός σας με λέει για το
I'm curious because I've been hearing so much buzz about DraftKings, and it's just at its inception. On the bench warmers on Sunday, I had young Petro Davo here, who's he says, I'm young, my whole generation does it, we're going to do it this way, it's good, they like it, it's got momentum. Is there any meat in that potato, Manny?
Down the road, yes, but at the moment, I'm not purchasing unprofitable companies, and that's what you're dealing with right now, and they're the cost of capital increase. So, yeah. For example, I'll give you a perfect example that I saw something this morning. So, everyone knows who DoorDash is, right?
Yeah.
So, Uber Eats, all that whole market, which is, you know, seeing explosive growth. So, I'll give you a perfect example.
Mm-hmm.
DoorDash in 2018, revenue $291 million. DoorDash in 2019, $885 million. DoorDash in 2020, $2.9 billion in revenue. 2021, $4.9 billion in revenue. In 2022, mm-hmm. $6.6 billion in revenue. So I just gave you the last 5-6 years of revenue.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think their net income was on $6.6 billion in 2022?
Probably a deficit, I'm going to guess.
Negative $1.37 billion.
Negative $1.37
They've had negative income.
And that's due to what now? Manny, can you elaborate? Can you, for us that we don't really understand.
Yeah, how does that
work? How that works. Yeah.
Correct. So when you have an interest rate at zero, your cost of capital is essentially free.
I see.
Okay, yeah.
You can loan money, you can take money, you can move money. There's no cost associated with it.
Mm-hmm.
You can hire all the people you want and say, I'm going to forecast growth to infinity, and we'll eventually get profitable. It's a similar thing that happened with Amazon. It just took a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But in these particular environments, these are where these companies potentially can go bankrupt or go out of business because the cost of capital has gone up substantially.
Makes sense.
Give you a perfect example. The 10-year treasury was at like 0.007 a few years ago, 2 years ago. It's now close, it's above 4%. Yesterday it dropped slightly below that. So if you look at whether it's the 2-year note, the 10-year note, they've all risen extensively. So yields are massively on the rise and the cost of capital is no longer free, which these companies are now learning the hard way as they're trying to become profitable in an environment that their cost of capital has never been higher since inception.
Well, that's what I meant about the new normal. And like, that's exactly what happened to Greece in 2009, 2010.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what happened. You know, like you can put the blame, like that's why we lose the sight of like in the political weeds kind of a thing. And we lose sight of that. It was just like the inability to borrow cheaply the way that they had in the past, mm-hmm. and it really caught up to them, and it's happening like throughout, whether you're a country or a company now, and you can't really predict it because you're seeing all these different numbers. You know, you talk about the labor market, and we heard about all the thousands of people that lost their jobs, yet we had a very robust labor market in the other mm-hmm. way, like, you know, so it's very difficult to sort of like, you know, pick and choose and have trends because there's so many different parts within each one of these sectors, I think.
So based what I, you know, listening very carefully to Manoli now, things will, after the $10 billion that they give for help, you know, due to the COVID until May 11th, I think after May, we might see some results of all this turbulence in, you know, like economic world. What do you think, Manny?
Yeah, I think that we, you know, potentially get hairy this year. I mean, we called for an up first half of the year, which happened sooner than we thought. And we're calling for a down second half of the year as most likely inflation rears its ugly head around, not just this year, but probably for multiple years. And we're watching the earnings decline and we're watching the labor market loosen up. So there's a whole lot of factors that could potentially, you know, worsen the economic situation over the next coming months. And that's what people need to be aware of. Right now might be the only one of the last chances you get to get rid of all the speculative stuff in your portfolio and really get set up for the next, you know, 1 to 2, 3, 5 years. Because I really believe that the environment we left, we will not revisit for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think these tech companies are truly going to come back to that valuation for a long, long time unless somehow something drastic happens in the economy and we go back to zero interest rates, which I think after the last 12 years, we don't want to do that.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it's
actually, bad. It reminds me a little bit, you know, of the Carter era, that the interest rates were sky high, and then it took some time for them to go down after Reagan took over. So mm-hmm. something, you know, I mean, not to that, not as severely as then, but almost something similar. So history repeats itself. Yeah, if you know, I mean, you have to read the history of economics rather than be an economist.
Anyway. Yeah, exactly. It's a different world. I mean, it's a more interwoven world. I mean, I get the parallels in the stagflation of the 70s, but this is just like, I mean, I think it's just so many different pieces geopolitically and otherwise that. I don't know.
Such a different business.
And that's the other side of the equation. I mean, we're not pricing in geopolitical risk right now. Mm-hmm. Right now, you have tensions brewing between Israel and Iran. Yeah. You've got saber rattling that took place last night between the U.S. and China, and you still have a land war taking place in Europe that doesn't seem to be resolving itself. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's getting worse, not better. Yeah.
So, Manoli μου, να τα πούμε λίγο ελληνικά, μας έκανε στο... Την ψυχή περιβόλη. Όχι τίποτα άλλο, θα αρχίσουμε τώρα να μετράμε και τα πένις.
Yeah, but you know what? I just want to say, listen, it's a weekly market update, and that's exactly what Manny brings us, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
So help me God.
So help us God. Manny, closing comments. How about something good? All right, we always try. Something good.
You think Brian will go to the NCAA this year?
There you go. Brian Bulldogs, what are we doing?
I don't know. They're not having a great year. It's going to depend on how they do in the conference tournament.
Actually, yeah.
That's this weekend, right?
The entire Rhode Island is really, you know, well, URI is way out.
Providence losing to Seton Hall. Like, what
they lost by 27. Yeah, yeah. Unbelievable. They were number 22. Now they drop out. I heard the news this morning. So I don't know. I know they will go to NCAA, but I don't know. I mean, you know.
I think, if you want to talk about dangerous teams, I think Kentucky's a dangerous team. I think Baylor's a very dangerous team. And I think you could see a lot of surprises in this year's tournament. There's a lot of really, really good talent out there, and I think it's going to make for an exciting March Madness.
What about the Celtics? Well, the Celtics, they've lost like three or four on the roll. They lost again in overtime.
They had a great game last night after playing overnight the night before, and they were without some of their best players.
But many they choked on the fourth quarter. I mean, they were ahead by 28 points against Brooklyn, and they lost by 11, 14. I mean, what the heck, you know? Something's wrong.
I think you need to make sure you have a healthy Jason Tatum, because without him, you don't have a closer.
Plus, they lost Williams. William is out for, I don't know, 9 games, I think.
Yeah. I think the big game of all, Stamati still on? The big game of all is tomorrow, Ike Atromitos.
There you go.
That's the game.
There you go. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank
Manny,
you, guys.
Great job today. 12 Points Wealth Management, Manny Frangidakis joins us each and every Tuesday at 11 o'clock right here on Grecian Echoes. All right, we'll be right back. Let me find a quick song. We'll be right back after these messages. Wait a minute.